This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North. When disasters strike, we want emergency services to be there as fast as humanly possible. We want to know that the people who do arrive on the scene are properly trained to the highest standard and that they can quickly communicate and coordinate with other city and county departments and agencies. None of that is easy. But making sure that all of the pieces of the emergency response puzzle work together is Christine Westrich's job. She's the director of the Milwaukee County Office of Emergency Management. It's a job she's had since the OEM was created in 2015 by combining operations from the county's Department of Health and Human Services, the Office of the Sheriff, and the Information Management Services Department. Westrich joins me in the studio now to tell us more about the work that her department does. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bonnie. It's an honor to be here.
I want to start with the Office of Emergency Management. You're the director of that office. What is it that you do? What falls under your purview?
We have a wide breadth in OEM as we brand ourselves, and that includes some of the basics where we're thinking radios. So if you see a cop or firefighter on the street or a paramedic and they're talking on the radio, we run that public safety system. And we do it for 18 of the cities in our county. So we have 10 tower sites, and it's really the foundation of emergency services. A cop needs to talk to his dispatcher. The dispatcher receives the call from a citizen via 911, and that would be the second area that we actually specialize in. Is I run the 911 dispatch for our sheriff, Ernell Lucas, and we dispatch for the highways and the jails, et cetera.
And that includes training?
It does.
Of those folks, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And that's always ongoing. And speaking of training, a third area is paramedics. So we have over 550 paramedics in Milwaukee County. The majority are in the city of Milwaukee. They have over 200 paramedics. But OEM is responsible for the training, the education, continuing ed, and really the regulatory standards that they follow. So when every citizen gets in an ambulance anywhere in Milwaukee County, they're going to get the same care, whether you're in the North Shore or you're in Cudahy or Greenfield. And we regulate that.
So are the paramedics that are assigned to, say, fire departments, how does that work? Because I know a lot of those guys are also at least paramedic trained.
Yes, absolutely. And they start at the fire department, receive their credentials, usually on their own at a tech school, CTC, our own MATC, of course, and then they get hired by a fire department. And once they're on board, then they look at their care protocols, and that's what we establish as OEM, as the county. And what that does for everyone in our jurisdiction is ensure that you get the best care possible, and it's all the same. So nobody gets preferential treatment, et cetera. Everyone has the same training, same narcotics on the ambulance, similar transport times to the emergency room.
So it sounds like a lot of what you're doing is coordinating.
Yes.
You're coordinating services across, the municipalities, across the county. How good is the communication between, say, you and the sheriff's department and the fire department and the police departments? There are many of them, around. So do you find that that's a lot of what takes up your time is coordinating with all those folks?
Absolutely. We always hear the overused term silos, and that's really our mission. Our mission is helping people in extraordinary times, but a big part of that is ensuring everyone is talking to each other. The term is interoperability, which just means that interagency, everybody can operate together as one universal force, essentially. And we do that in ways by introducing technology. A good example is in 911 dispatch. We have 12 different 911 centers. I run only one of them. And to get all 12 to share and coordinate information so that if a police crosses a jurisdictional boundary or an ambulance is needed because all of their rigs are in service, then that coordination can be done virtually through technology. So Milwaukee County is paying for a system to upgrade all of our 12 centers so that we can actually talk to each other. And that's the level of coordination that you're describing.
That, and I imagine, dealing with turf issues. I mean, people get very, very protective.
Yes.
Of their patch of ground, of whatever they're doing. And I think that's a very human thing.
It is. And we often say that boundaries or jurisdictional boundaries today are starting to dissolve. And a big reason for that is it's not less pride. It doesn't mean I'm happy to be a Fox Point resident or I'm less happy, so my boundary doesn't matter. That's not the case. What is happening today is everyone, Milwaukee County, the state, every municipality in our county, from Franklin to Brown Deer, is suffering from funding. So we're all looking at our tax levy. We're all assessing, how do we help government do better with less funding? And what that is causing then is us to share resources. So, okay, let's take down our walls. Let's take down these boundaries and see how we can help each other across that dotted line on the map. So the DNC, which is coming next summer, is the best example of how we're approaching that. We've got a year to go, and we are all looking at our boundaries and assessing, hey, do I need to buy this technology, or can I piggyback off your technology and or just share it, like a drone, for example? Does every municipal agency need to buy a drone? Perhaps, but there's a lot to it. You need an FAA license, you need waivers, et cetera. Or can we share that resource when it's needed? So we're really taking a good look at that as a whole county.
Well, and you bring up the DNC, and it's a perfect example of how all of these things will have to work together, probably in an unprecedented way, because we've never had anything quite like this before. I mean, we have Summerfest, we have other things, but this is going to be huge. And there will be emergencies.
Yes, there will. And I think, well, I know we're expecting 50,000 additional visitors to come, and that includes roughly 6,000 delegates. It includes at least 5,000 additional media representatives, and then, of course, just all your citizens that come to witness the committee and the voting. And due to this large influx, this huge volume of people and the media, that is really what is forcing us to ensure that we have a streamlined operation here. Everything from security to transportation, to hoteling, to food, to laundry for our visitors. How are we coordinating that? Not only here in Milwaukee County, but it stretches out to Madison, Racine, Kenosha. Visitors are expected to stay in Chicago and take the Hiawatha up here to Milwaukee. So you're exactly right. A large breadth that we've never seen here in Milwaukee. And we believe that this is setting the stage then for future conventions and for future sporting events with our Pfizer Forum, that when we show next year that we're prepared and this comes off universally streamlined and it's a successful event, that'll set us up for the future and be good economic income for us.
Well, I'll go back to the money piece, because you mentioned that before, that, you know, we're all having to learn how to do more with less as taxes are flat, or, you know, things happen on a political level that affect what kind of funding you get. What are some of the challenges that you're facing due to decreased funding? I mean, are we in danger of losing some of the emergency services that we have come to depend on?
Interestingly, for the paramedics, there is a state statute, Chapter 66, that actually protects the paramedic division. So the answer there is no, simply because there's an exemption for tax levy capping for paramedics. For the other services, however, yes. And especially if you consider 911. So today, speaking of technology, there's next generation 911 coming down the pike. And this is in numerous literatures, trade magazines, etc. And it essentially allows data, video to be sent to a 911 dispatcher, texting. That's available in some areas of our state, nowhere available yet in Milwaukee County to text for help or assistance. But that's what this next generation platform does. Very expensive. So 12 individual centers in Milwaukee may struggle to actually pay for this new technology. And it all has to be balanced with the social demand. So does the public know this technology exists? Are they demanding it of their emergency services? Hey, I want to be able to text you. I want to send you a video of what I see, what is going on, this accident. And if that's not available and they demand it, then municipal officials are going to have to look at consolidation.
One of the things that fascinates me about you is your background that you bring to this job as the director. You have a military background, you're a Marine veteran, you've flown, you're also an artist. How does what you did in the Marine Corps, say, and as a defense contractor, translate into doing what you do now?
the highlight of my past experience would be the idea of relationships and remaining calm under pressure. One of the most difficult things as a leader, as a boss in emergency services, is listening to things that come my way and making decisions on them. If I stand in a circle of things that are not important, not urgent, but I make them such drama, we're not going to get anywhere as far as emergency services or even as a department. And so maintaining that calm demeanor, being able to slice through a problem and see, is this an urgent problem or is this feeling and emotion? And then separating the two and then really dissecting the issue to really come to a solution. And I've done that, and we all do, to solve problems throughout our lives. I found much success with it. I often ask myself, why can't I, as a person, for my personal goals? And it may be something, why can't I get an MBA? Well, it's expensive. I don't want to take the GMAT. I don't have time because my work is so time consuming, etc. But then we start dissecting that problem and we find that, oh, wait, I can do this if you just take it step by step, bird by bird, as Brené Brown would say.
Well, and that's a very military way of approaching a problem, too, is that you have to cut through the stuff, yes, to get to the mission, whatever the mission is.
Yes.
And you have to be able to see what that is.
Yes. And there's no better place than in aviation, in the cockpit of an F-18, when if your engine fails or if you're low on gas, you have to immediately triage and prioritize, and as we say in its common term, compartmentalize what the problem is. You cannot be distracted by other things. And if you lose sight of your wingman, that is your first priority. You need to find him so you don't have a mid-air collision. But that idea of triaging and assessing immediately what is my concern right now that could cause danger or safety events, and once that is solved, then you move on to the next one. And I've applied that, although, you know, danger and life safety isn't necessarily common for me today in my leadership role, but I've taken that to this position for sure.
Well, and then you talk about compartmentalizing and having it. That's a very left brain way of dealing with things. You're also an artist, and that's a very right brain way. And so it seems like there's a really nice balance there for you.
Yes. And being an artist is really, I hate to say, thinking out of the box, and that's a common term we can all relate to, but it really does allow me, I think, to think abstractly. And it also causes me, I'm an illustrator by trade. I was trained at Art Center College of Design in illustration, which means someone comes to me with a narrative and I have to draw a picture to tell that story. So no words are allowed, perhaps graphic or some type of typography, but I need an image to articulate that idea. So using my military background, brevity, Top Gun brevity, chapter one, is one of the lifebloods of being an aviator. So combining that with my illustration background really assists in getting to the message, again, dissecting that problem, getting to the heart of it, what needs to be solved, or what do I need to champion or advocate for to get people to increase funding or whatever the case may be. So that idea of being an illustrator has helped me tremendously to just cut through all the chaff, as you said, and get right to the point. And doing that through an image is very important.
If there was one thing that you wanted people to know about what your office does that they don't know, what would that be?
It may not be a very sexy topic, but it would be preparedness and planning at every level. So if you're in your office and there's an active shooter event, what do you do? What is your reaction? Is it run, hide, fight? Is it hide under my desk? Is it go find the nearest exit? What do I do? That type of planning we take care of and we assist others. A lot is self-education, of course, but then also looking at a family. So not only at my workplace or work environment, but at my family. And how do I communicate with my family? What do I do if I lose power? Where do we rendezvous? Are those plans in place? And have we even talked about it? The biggest step is really talking about it. I have many department heads or elected officials come to me to seek advice on, say, again, active shooter. And most common, I find that their fears are alleviated or tamped if they just sit down and talk about it with each other about what they would do in such an event. And in emergency preparedness, that's step number one. And we help assist with that. And we get the message out, educating people, here's how to be prepared. Here in Wisconsin, we're a very safe state. We're not like California, wildfires, everything going on out there,
earthquakes. Yeah.
Yes. No, here we don't have that. I mean, we have straight line winds, which can affect a lot of damage and flooding. And we may have civil disturbance events, and for the DNC, we'll certainly be prepared for that. But people have a tendency, as we do, to get complacent. But if we talk about these things, even for minor events, we're all much more prepared.
We've gotten pretty good about that kind of preparedness with, say, our in-home fire alarms, you know, making sure that the smoke detectors have their batteries. There's been that education campaign to make sure. But you're right, I think a lot of people don't think about it beyond that. It's like, okay, if the fire alarm goes off, what do I do then?
Yes. And what do I save? And actually, here in Milwaukee, we do have a lot of occupancy that do not have smoke alarms. So we're really starting from ground zero. And Milwaukee Fire Department, accolades to them, because they have a whole campaign every year where they go out with the Red Cross and go door to door, and they offer free smoke alarms. So nothing can be taken for granted, to be honest. But after the alarm goes off, what do I take with me? And we often cite the P's, which are pills, purses, and pets. So these are things, and maybe the last P would be phone. But these are things that we need, that are essential to us, and your prescriptions, and of course, whatever may be in your purse, and then our loving pets, of course. But
right. And I was thinking papers, that's another P. If
actually,
you have something, yeah.
You're right, your vital records, any, or pictures that may be valuable.
I just want to touch on pet preparedness, because we mentioned that before we turned on the microphones, and I thought, well, that's interesting, because I'm a pet owner. I hadn't thought about pet preparedness. So what are some of the things that you talk to families about in terms of that?
We often talk about a go kit, which sometimes people have at their office. And the idea is, it's a very traditional emergency management idea. Have your go kit, and you need 3 days of water in your go kit and 10 granola bars, except in your, again, your prescriptions. But that idea aside, if you have a pet, a go kit is certainly something that is going to help your pet survive. And that would be food, snacks, of course, for your pet, blankets. But the most critical thing is the carrying case for the pet, for the animal. So there was a fire recently in Bayside, the village of Bayside here in the North Shore community. And there were quite a few cats, actually, in that apartment complex. And this fire occurred, my date is going to be inaccurate, but roughly the end of April, early May. And their cats are coming back now to the scene, actually, that had run off and survived from the fire. But the pet owners, they were too busy evacuating. They were not able to care for their pet. And now these pets are coming back. However, if you're, you know, prepared per the FEMA guidance, we have a carrying case for our pet, and we are able to ideally get them in and evacuate with that animal in some type of carriage device. So that's probably one of the biggest ways. And it's such a heartache, such loss. I know human loss, of course, is on a much grander scale. But when we lose a pet due to tragedy, the emotional loss is very significant for many people.
And particularly if you feel that you could have done something better.
Yes.
The guilt, I imagine, is just terrible.
Yes, and often we think of our pets as defenseless. They're survivors, though. I mean, these cats in Bayside, they found their way out, you know, unbeknownst to their owners. And now we're all raising our hands, way to go, Fido or Fluffy. But they manage on their own as well, but sometimes they're not able to.
As you look forward, obviously the DNC is coming up next year very, very quickly. What are some of the other kinds of bigger projects that you're looking for in the next 5 or 10 years? What kinds of things can we expect from emergency management services?
I think across the board, when we look at all emergency services, which is really police, fire, and of course, paramedic service, medical services, is the idea of sharing resources. Again, less money, et cetera, but dissolving those boundaries. And consolidation is a word that many chiefs and even elected officials are shy about speaking openly on the idea of combining their resource with another municipalities because there is the loss of identity. You mentioned earlier about turf, et cetera. That's a very significant factor. But in the next 10 years, we're going to see more of it. We're going to see more adjacent communities joining together to really link their services so that it can be the best service. If one city can afford to implement text to 911, but we travel two blocks and we don't have that service, there may be something wrong with government as a whole, especially when we look at equality, looking at reducing or eliminating racial disparities. Those types of services should be equal across the board. So in 10 years, we will undoubtedly see the combining of fire services, perhaps less firehouses, as we look to combine those resources and really be more efficient. Recently, I've started saying do less with less, because doing more with less is so overused and we're pretty much maxed out on the more. Like, I can't do any more. Like, I'm so less, the more is capped out. So we have to look at doing less with less resources, quite honestly. And that means less municipal buildings, less facility footprint, less infrastructure that I have to maintain in HVAC and everything that is tied into overhead. Less of that, more efficiency. We'll see that undoubtedly.
Well, Christine, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me, Bonnie. This has been a real pleasure.
Christine Westrich is the founding director of the Milwaukee County Office of Emergency Management, or OEM. She's also an illustrator and a former Marine Corps aviator. You can find links to more about the OEM at wuwm.com.